Now will you notice, verse 8, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth near. We should live in the light. That's the teaching all the way through Scripture of the coming of Christ. Now, he says, murmur not one against another, brethren, lest ye be judged. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. You know, it's going to be very embarrassing if the Lord should come while you are sitting in judgment on somebody else and you find yourself in his presence and he's judging you. That would be very embarrassing. And what he's really saying here is set your house in order. Get your affairs straightened out before he comes, because he's going to straighten them out if you don't. And that's very important for believers. Verse 10, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Remember that prophets are an example to us. They suffered, and they were patient. And now he gives us here an example. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy who endure. You've heard of the patience of Job. And that's about all that I know about Job's patience. I've heard of it. I feel Job is very impatient as you go through the book of Job. But actually, he learned patience. He was an impatient man, but he learned patience. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You have to go to the end of this man's trial, and you find out he learned a great lesson. Now he says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, your nay nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. In other words, my friend, when you say something that you're going to do, it ought to be on the same plane as if you were in a courtroom and had taken an oath and you were under oath to tell the truth. Your conversation ought to be like that. And I remember my dad went to the bank to borrow money one year to get the cotton gin started. And the banker was busy, and he told him, he says, go ahead. Well, he says, I haven't signed the note. And I never shall for what the banker said to my dad. He says, if you say you'll do it, that's just as good as if you signed it. So come in later and sign up. May I say to you, a man's word ought to be just that good. And some people, even when they take an oath on a stack of Bibles, you have a little trouble with them. Verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Now, the afflicted are to pray, and the merry are to sing psalms. And that ought to answer the question whether a song leader has a right to get up in a service and say to everybody, now everybody sit up and smile. And I used to have a song leader like that years ago, and I got rid of him. I told him, don't you know that here on Thursday night that there are people that come in? And I said, as I look out there, I see one man, he's a doctor, and he's been busy all day with patients, sick people, and there's a buyer for a department store. I see her sitting out there. She's weary. She's tired. And you tell her that she's got to sit up and smile. No, you don't have to sit up and smile. The afflicted are to pray. The merry are to sing psalms. Don't put on a front. Some people go to church and then try to work up some sort of an enthusiasm. May I say to you, we ought to have that great passion and enthusiasm before we go there. But we don't have to sit up and smile for some song leader. And chances are he's been loafing all day.